Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey, everyone, and thank you for joining us, and welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast. We appreciate your support and have a special interview and episode for you today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy learning about sports and opportunities around the world. Here comes the music. I gotta let you go.
He goes, I'll give you $750,000 a year to sign with us.
Without right even now, showing off.
He goes, don't even walk over to the field.
Because I had no idea that my passport was even expired.
Let me tell you, I sent out 6,000 emails.
Gentlemen, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us, as athletes, were taught how to use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, Jay, get me out.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over it.
You finished the game with a broken hand?
Yeah, I finished the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
There are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey my last season.
Okay. For this episode, we are joined with Mario Signorello, who is the CEO of the Caribbean Baseball Organization. As it describes itself, the Caribbean Baseball Organization, or the CBO, produces international and college baseball events, tours for international baseball teams, and sport festivals in the Bahamas. Not a bad place, first of all, to be based. Basically, what you'll get from this interview is Mario and his team and the group with the CBO do what they can to bring in different teams ranging in ages from, I don't know what the youngest is, but I was going through the website, U9 I saw, to, it says here college level, but also I saw U18, and he mentions the U19 squads from all over the world. And so we're going to get teams that have come in the past. He's got some stories, specific teams and specific examples and stories that'll be great for us to get a broad idea of baseball around the world. Not to be confused, CBO, this is not a professional league in any way. It's an organization that brings in events and tournaments, but it's great for you baseball fans when looking at an international view because it's going to give you a lens in which to look through to get an idea of what baseball may look like in other areas. We had this when we did with the, quote, Luke Bryan tour, the umpires that joined us, Luke and Brian, and we got an idea of what baseball might look like around the world, and it was a little bit more focused on umpire discussion because they were umpires, but we did get a little bit of a taste of what baseball was around the world. So if you haven't heard that one, you might want to also check out that episode. That was episode 43, Luke Hamilton and Brian Herzog, college, minor league, and international baseball umpires. So that one does get a little bit into international baseball and kind of that idea, but like I said, it is a lot also focused on umpires as well and how that fits into the whole thing. But back to Mario and the CBO. Like I said, it's not a league, it's an organization, but it's going to give us a great view of what baseball looks like around the world from countries like Russia to India, Lithuania, the US. And it's gonna take countries that you're familiar with when it comes to baseball and kind of compare and contrast countries that you're not so familiar with when it comes to baseball. We'll dive into questions like, what does it take for a country to really expand baseball in their own borders, what might be holding it back, what might be the reason why it's so big in one country and yet not so big in another one. I know when we talked way back, I think this was when way back with Heidel and Diaz, episode 9, when we talked about how the Philippines is like the 12th most populated country. That number might be wrong now, but it's pretty high up in the list, and yet they have no gold medals. And the whole idea was, what does population have to do when it comes to success in a sport? And that'll come up when we talk about a specific country here with Mario, India. India is so highly populated, number 2 or number 3, again, I'll have to double check, number 2 or number 3 most populated country, it doesn't really matter, they're either 2 or 3. And yet, you don't think of baseball when you think of India. And we're going to talk about that a little bit because India comes up in Mario's stories and there's some specifics about India you might learn about, but that is a question that we get and we think about. And so that's that whole discussion, albeit not directly discussed, may trigger in your head thinking about what does population have to do with the overall success of a country when it comes to a sport. Does it have any direct connection? Is it a benefit? Is it nothing? Does it not actually have anything to do with the success in a country? So all that being said, I'm going to jump into the interview here with Mario Signorello, representing the Caribbean Baseball Organization. Enjoy. But before we do that, just a quick reminder where you can find us. The website is up, which is awesome and exciting. That's globallyballin.com. You can find everything we do is now based on that website, which is very exciting. So step one, go check out the website, globallyballin.com. In addition, when it comes to social media, it's facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram @globallyballinofficial, Twitter @globallyballin. And that's it for social media. The podcast will be going back to just on Wednesday. Many of you noticed we doubled up because of quarantining and everything going on. We started doing 2 a week just to give you more to listen to and maybe help you get through the day and stuff like that. And so, but that is going to be back to 1 episode a week. They'll be back out just the Wednesday. So the Saturday episodes that we were doing are going to be gone. And we're going back to just the Wednesday. Also, make sure you check out the Patreon page. I've mentioned it in previous episodes. You can find these episodes in different forms. No ads, short and sweet, boom, no ads, none. Also, for some of you, no background sound. So some of you hate it and some of you love it. So if you love it, great, we have it up there. If you don't, there's versions of it with no sound in the back. So go check out Patreon and you can find that. There's also just a bunch of other stuff we've done. Candid Conversations, which is a completely different audio structure that we did. We've got video up there. Just go and at least check it out and read the different tiers and see if there's anything for you. But I think that's all. Enjoy the interview.
Hello, this is Mario.
Hi, Mario. This is Aaron. How are you?
Pretty good, Aaron.
Good.
Pretty, as well as can be expected, I guess, with this whole situation.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we were able to kind of set some time aside and be able to make this work.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your interest.
So we'll start off with introducing who you are and what you do.
My name's Mario Signorello. I'm the CEO of the Caribbean Baseball Organization, which I've held that title for a little over a year, because previous to that, I worked 15 years in Major League Baseball for the Miami Marlins. With the Caribbean Baseball Organization is basically, we're an international baseball company, and we have 3 events. 2 of them are in Palm Beach County, and 1 of them is in the Bahamas. The one event that we have will be in year 25 next year is the Palm Beach Challenge College Baseball Invitational. This is for NCAA Division II teams that are in the Northeast that can't stay home for spring breaks. So they come down and we organize their games along with some international teams. For 8 years now, I've also done an event in the Bahamas, Grand Bahama Sports Festival, which is kind of an interesting time because we're scheduled for late July, early August. And where we're at in Grand Bahama is 50,000 people. And they've only had 8 outbreaks, only 1 in the last 24 days. And that person was asymptomatic. And then the one that kind of took me away from Major League Baseball is one I developed, it'll be in year 4. This is a November event called The World Comes to the Palm Beach. It is 1 team per country, per age group. Last year we had 25 different countries represented from 5 continents. It would have been 6, but Nigeria was turned down for their visas. So that's how I make my living these days.
So when we're talking at the league that's there right now, is it a professional league that's played in the area?
No, no, there's no professional. The only professional leagues in the Caribbean are the Dominican Summer League and then the Cuban League. Those are the only leagues that happen during the summer. And the Cuban League's a little more of a winter league, but they've got two different leagues. But those are the only professional leagues that are there. My tournament that I do is a youth tournament. It's ages 8 to 19. We did a 19 and under friendly last year between Bahamas and Florida, which turned out to be really, really good competition.
Pulling in kind of youth from all over to participate in these tournaments, correct?
From the world, yeah, the world comes to the Palm Beaches, yes. China, Italy, Bolivia, Peru, Guatemala, Bonaire, 19,000 people, Cayman Islands, 60,000 people, India, Lithuania, Canada, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, they've all played with us the last couple of years.
So there's some country names in there definitely that would surprise the avid baseball fan. I think typically when I think baseball, I don't think India, I don't think Lithuania. And so how have you seen some of those countries that we wouldn't typically consider baseball countries showing up?
Well, that's the amazing part. The way I go about my business is I think God invented baseball so I could have a favorite sport. And there is somebody that thinks like me in every country in the world. I just need to find that person. In a country like Lithuania, this is an absolutely amazing story. And a lot of people, I put out LinkedIn posts under my name right now we're going through various countries in Europe because I attended the president's conference meeting in Lithuania back in February. But the Lithuania president, Vilmos Nevierauskas, was living in Russia when the Olympics decided that starting in 92, there's going to be baseball in the Olympics. So the Russian Olympic said, you start baseball because we want to win medals. You don't start baseball in your mid 20s, you grow up playing the game. But the guy saw it for the first time, and then eventually he ended up being in Lithuania, and his wife was a professional basketball player. When they had their first child, he told him he's going to be a baseball player. She says, baseball? There's no baseball here. What are you talking about? He's going to be tall. Well, he started baseball there, and at the beginning, he didn't have enough baseball, so he put water in tennis balls to simulate the weight. Well, when his son was 16, he was 6'6" and got signed by the Pittsburgh Pirates to a contract. I heard from a scout afterwards that within a year he went from 88 miles an hour to 95 miles an hour, and 3 years ago in 2017 he got called up to the big leagues to pitch for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Wow. And he got the first baseman, Anthony Rizzo, to ground to a double play in his first major league batter.
That is amazing.
Absolutely incredible, incredible story.
And you see, another one in there that you were listing was India. That one shocks me too.
I was shocked yesterday to find out that there are 200,000 people that play baseball in India. Now, that gets buried among 1.3 billion people.
I was going to say, it's kind of a numbers game with India.
Right, right. Now, and it's not, I always hear people say that's not a baseball, they're not enthusiastic there. Well, let me tell you, the 200,000 that play are enthusiastic about it. And there's a gentleman who's been in IT for 20 years who quit his job, so he wants to develop a professional baseball league in India. He's starting out by trying to start out to have one team this year to kind of be a protocol team to go around and see, and then he'd like to open up with six teams the next year in a league, and they're looking to come and participate with us. We had a different team. We had a different team from India come a couple of years ago, and they've got some work to do. There was some athletic talent there. Baseball is a game when you a lot of nuances to it, so you kind of gotta be playing it for a while before you're gonna be able to excel at it.
Oh yeah. What were some of the shocking successing countries that come and participate? Like, are any of those countries that we wouldn't typically put on a list coming and really showing out when they come and participate?
Well, last year was the shocker upon shockers. When there's a team from Russia that came, and I had hosted teams from Russia, and I hadn't kept up, and it had always been fair, the teams that came over. Well, this time these guys came over a lot different. It found out they had several million dollar baseball facility. I think it was about $10 million the guy put in to build it. Two full fields, artificial turf, and an indoor facility where they can hold youth league games and softball games. That's how big it is in between, and they're adding a softball field to it, too. Wow. Well, these guys, they played in the 15 and under division. On Monday, they played a scrimmage game against a local high school team that included varsity, JV, and players he's going to cut, and they won 20-2. So we were really worried about what was going to happen. Their first game was against Aruba, and Aruba had two players on the team that I knew were going to be international signees. And they'd lost to the U.S. the year before. So I'm thinking this is really not going to be pretty. Well, after they lost, I told them, you guys are going to practice now. You're going to practice every time. He goes, I want to play more games. We've been in the gym. I go, no, you're going to practice before you play. And then the coach said, through an interpreter, he says, but I pay you. I says, I don't care. You're going to play. You're going to practice. For every practice, you'll get a game. So I started him with a trainer, Coach Jimmy, who's got an academy in the Dominican Republic, top 10 baseball. And they started practicing every day. Well, what we didn't know is they had their secret weapon, a kid whose dad was a professional baseball player in Cuba. And then he moved to the Soviet Union. So the kid was born there, 6'1", 185 pounds, 14 years old, throwing in the mid-80s. He shuts down. They beat Aruba 7-1. Oh, wow. The next day, they're playing the Cayman Islands, which is an island of 60,000 people. And this kid could also hit. And so they beat the Cayman Islands. And next game, they're playing against Canada. So you're thinking, okay, the joke's up. But when you start winning and you think that you're good, you are that good. They came back and beat Canada to make it to the championship game against the U.S. Everybody is just absolutely shaking their head.
Wow.
The U.S. team that came out this year was a little younger than the one that came the year before. They're mostly so, but still, they made it to the championship game over Puerto Rico, Venezuela, and Guatemala in their age bracket. And we think they're out of pitching. Nope, they threw the kid again on one day's rest. 2 days later, on one full day's rest, and he shut down the U.S. and they won the championship 8-3. Just the most stunning baseball I've ever seen.
Okay, so you're looking at teams like Russia and maybe some of those other countries that have a couple of really big stars, but is there enough in there to get professional leagues going for some of those countries?
Not yet. What you're probably going to see first would be a European professional league where they would represent, because they're all so close, so it's kind of like with the distancing. I think that there is enough time. There's a college summer league that runs over there now, but I think that there's enough room to probably do something like that. You're going to have to get scouts over there, though. There are professional leagues in Europe in the Netherlands and in Italy. Other countries, there are leagues. Some of them pay their players, but those two are generally above everybody else. And if you looked at my last LinkedIn post, I featured Italian stadiums are kind of like Class A stadiums here, and I featured four of the nicer facilities.
What do you think it is that keeps a lot of these countries so far from at least having professional leagues?
Well, you remember, baseball, you have to have the talent base. So in order to play, and it's not something that in order for a country like a Russia who just got back into it, they need the generation of 10 to 12 year olds to grow up playing baseball before they could participate in the league. Russia's definitely got the population base to be able to have it, to have a league right now. And they could bring in players, but then their own players wouldn't really be able to participate if it's a decent league. So what you want to do is get your own is have your players develop, and then at the right time. There might be enough players. There's a 21-year-old pitcher with the Phillies at a 1.9 ERA last year. But you don't have a whole league of them, but you might be able to put out a prospect team that could compete against other nations.
So that's the best bet then. Like if a country has, like that pitcher you're talking about from Russia, but they don't have many others, they basically just have to get some youth team to go around and do some traveling. Cause you don't want, I mean, that guy needs his opportunity. And if there's nothing going on, he's going to miss it.
Well, since this event came out, remember this name, Enrique Sevilla Milianis. Okay. This is the kid whose parents are Cuban, but he was born in Russia. This kid's going to, if he stays there, and I hope he does, and that's my recommendation to them, is he will move the needle for baseball over there like you wouldn't see. The reason he'll do is scouts will now be coming in the next couple of years to watch this kid. One of the kids who played in the Aruba team, his dad told me how he took him out. He was 15, and how he took him out of the or 14, how he took him out and he put him in Dominican Republic so he can sign next year as an international player. And I'm like, look, that's really good for the kid. But if the kid's talented, he's gonna be able to make it. And your developmental years, to me, it's not as important. My college baseball event, when I worked with the Marlins, we had two players, two pitchers on the 2007 team. Wes Obermueller and Henry Owens. Wes Obermueller went to Iowa, and Henry Owens went to Berry University in Florida. Neither of them pitched at my event or in college. Obermueller might have done, I think, a little bit of relieving, yet they made it to the major leagues. So here's two guys, the first 21 years of their life, they don't pitch, yet they make it to the major leagues. If he stays in my prediction is if he stays in Russia, it'll help raise the bar for everybody.
This episode is also brought to you by our friends over at Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, brought to you by Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to bring success to the lives of young men in ways in which they may have not reached that success otherwise. One of the ways in which they do this is through their professional basketball team, the Lewisville Yellow Jackets, who play in TBL or the Basketball League. Make sure you go check out Creating Young Minds on all major platforms, including Facebook and LinkedIn. I encourage you to dive more into the mission of Creating Young Minds as they strive to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. Thank you. So looking at like maybe the growth of a professional league potentially in some of those other countries, obviously they need the youth, but they also need at least the potential of a fan base. Do you think some of those countries would have that backing getting started?
Well, again, when you introduce new sports, how long did it take to get a soccer league with attendance up in this country? A long time, and it was the most popular sport in the world. The people, the kids and the players had to evolve, and enough immigrants had to come in to be able to bring the game across there. So it's something that needs to grow organically in order to be able to maintain. We do an event in the Bahamas and it in Freeport, and last year when we did our when we did the 19 and under game and people talked about how competitive it is, we had 500-600 people there to watch the Florida Bahamas play each other in 19 and under. It was similar to a summer collegiate game, but there you've got a population that kind of knows a little bit about baseball and has got a niche. But a lot of people, I'd say probably about a third of the people that came just came because they heard it was the place to be. That's how it has to work. If you start out with all the different bells and whistles, you know, I question Major League Baseball for having the first game in Europe, the Yankees and Red Sox. If you start out at the top, there's really nowhere else to go. Yeah, I watched my first hockey game in Maple Leaf Gardens, Buffalo and Toronto, and the crowd was unreal. Then when I watched the Florida Panther game, I was almost feeling like almost felt like being at a tennis match.
That is a good point. how do you see the Olympics having baseball back in affect baseball worldwide?
It's going to have a bigger effect than we can feel it here, because there are countries who want to be able to make and be able to showcase their team and be able to showcase their teams. The email for the guy wants to start the league in India ends in olympicdream.com. Russia specifically started baseball because of the Olympics, and because it's going to be back in, it's going to give opportunities of different countries to be able to play. Last year, in order to get there was an African championship in which they designated 17 different countries that were invited to four regionals. Well, only, Africa's a real large country. Only 9 of the teams could travel. Actually, so they cut down to 3 regionals, so really only 6 had to travel. And then the 4 winners in South Africa played in South Africa for the championship. There's a big, wide gap in Africa between South Africa and everybody else. But those 17 teams were proud to be invited. The 9 who participated, there's a video, I can't remember what country, I think it's Kenya, who, when they won, just celebrated like crazy because they got to go to South Africa and play. Now, if you won in South Africa, that you then had to go to Italy and play in the tournament with the other regional, European champions. So they were so far away from actually being there, but they were so happy just to be there.
You think about sports that have higher overhead, and definitely hockey is up there for sure. But then you have sports that are really low, like basketball. The amount you need for basketball is far lower. Do you see the overhead needed for baseball as as a speed bump for some countries?
Well, without a doubt. The one thing that you kind of left out is in basketball or in soccer, you really just need the ball, and you can get that just about anywhere. When you're in a country when you're in Russia, bats and baseballs become a difficult thing to be able to get sometimes, and just to be able to and by the time they get there, they cost a whole bunch. So if you've got a guy that wants to play baseball, wants to play baseball, how does he get equipment for the first time? I don't know how many of the stores have it there. I'm sure you can order things online these days, but you're probably paying a pretty decent rate to be able to start it. And especially with shipping and gloves and others and other items like that. It's not in the developing countries, it's not readily available. So that's where the cost is.
What do you think comes first to kind of develop it? I know there's so many different pieces, but is it starting that youth league or bringing in a guest team to kind of show what it could look like when it's there?
It's definitely starting at the youth level. That's where you want to introduce to get kids to be able to bringing in teams and players and coaches. That's coaches is fine because it's different. Because it's a different mentality when they see there are other people that are there. And I always tell the coaches when we come in, we've done quite a few clinics in the Bahamas, our company, and we would, it's just, look, we're not necessarily know everything. We just might know some techniques that you'd have or didn't know. And if the kids will see it, if the kids see that it's the same one that you have, they'll know their coaches were there. If not, it's just something that's different for it. When you bring in teams, you always take the chance of, you don't want them to be to show that the gap can be pretty darn far in baseball terms with teams being able to compete against each other. So you don't want to ruin that. So that if a team's going to go in there, you kind of got to be careful. The Russians on one of the trips went to the Bahamas and played, and they gave them a couple extra players. They had 8 players they brought over there, so they gave them a couple extra. And the games, and they took their team that was in last place in the 6-team league, and they played against them, and the games were very competitive. I was able to guide and control that, but you really don't know. One of the worst things can happen is when people are being introduced to the game, don't know it, and they feel embarrassed about how they perform.
That's an excellent point that I had not considered. So a couple of our episodes we've done in the past with baseball, it's been clear about some of the top tiers that I don't know. I didn't know if I heard you on your list of countries, and that was Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan. Did you have groups coming from that those countries?
Interestingly enough, we have not cracked that market, and that's the professional market over in Asia. I think that their perspective is they kind of do their own thing and don't really make a lot of trips to be able to be here. And I think that the teams would really want to be, they'd want to come, they'd want to make sure that they were on top of their game and only be able to send the best teams. Because for them, well, other countries might send teams this year the Cayman Islands beat Puerto Rico in a 12-and-under game, which was fantastic for them. But there's enough Puerto Rican teams, and Puerto Rico's done well enough, and they're close enough that doesn't have as far-ranging effects. And in baseball, all it takes is one hot pitcher for the team to be even. Well, I played a Division II college, St. Thomas University, and we were playing University of Miami, defending national champions, and our pitcher shut them down. Only allowed one run, and we won 4-1. Were we better than was our Division II school better than the national champion Division I's? No, but our pitcher was better than any of them that night.
Yeah, I remember being, playing in Little League and watching the kid on the mound and going and counting games, how many games until we'll play them, will he still be pitching? And so that can make I definitely understand that can make a massive difference.
But they don't have to be that good. We had just roll this in year number one, 2017, we had Peru, a country of 30 million, only 3,000 play baseball, defeat the United States team that represent the United States 2-1. And let me explain something too. We don't have national teams. This is an invitational.
Yes.
We only allow one team per age group. So the team was an academy out of Florida that was a sleepaway academy. So they had players from all over the world. They picked up a few extra players. So they had a very good team on the field. One of the center fielder was a 28th round draft pick and didn't sign with the Braves. So he went there so he could stay there and then be eligible for the next draft. So that's the type of caliber players they had. The Peru pitcher was throwing 75 miles an hour, the curveball at 65. The U.S. got up there the first three innings, and they hit the ball. Everybody hit the ball very hard, except for a couple that got stuck on the 65-mile-an-hour curveball. They were just hitting it at people. They had a 1-0 lead into the fifth. In the sixth inning, they made a two-out error. The kid stole third, then tied, scored on a pass ball. In the seventh inning, a similar. A kid walked. They bunted him over, went to second, then scored on a poorly played fly ball by the right fielder. And they ended up winning the game 2-1 and dogpiled. And the look on the faces of the U.S. team was similar to the 1980 Russians when the U.S. beat them in hockey. And people ask me, who was on the U.S. team? I go, I can't tell you all the names and the play, like where they played, but I can tell you this. Everybody on the Peru team was from Peru. That pitcher struck out three guys, two of them in the seventh inning. By the time the seventh inning came around, he thought he was Nolan Ryan, and the other team was in their head.
Wow. I know this. Everything's been thrown off and messed up, but do you have future plans, or is everything still up in the air?
If I keep going back to LinkedIn, that kind of chronicles what's been going on. I chronicled how my Division II tournament went down. It was a 23-day event, and after 14 days, we were getting ready for our biggest weekend. And on Wednesday, we had 10 teams. One of the New York teams told they couldn't come in. The last one flew in. So we went into Thursday with 9 teams. One by one, they started dropping. And it was coach getting a call from the field, coach being up at bat, teams told they could finish games or to go home. We had one team fly in for a 10-day trip, played one game, turned around, flew home. And one by one, they went from 9 teams. We finished the day with 4. And I got in the morning, I got a call from the 4th team who said that they weren't allowed to play. 2 teams showed up to play, New York Tech and Felician. and post-university was on the field from Connecticut ready to play, and the post got a call from the AD, so the president just called, get off the field. They couldn't even finish taking batting practice. And then the Felician parents and New York Tech parents started realizing that if they're juniors and seniors, this could be the last time they ever see the kid play baseball. So that's how that started. 2 weeks later, we had games. 2 weeks later, so what you see 2 weeks today is going to be different 2 weeks from now. And what you see 2 weeks from then is going to be different across there. So I don't know. I don't know where this is going to, where this is. Hopefully the social distancing and the parts that they're putting in place are going to work. Mm-hmm. I do know that I've got an island with a gorgeous three-field complex over in Freeport, Bahamas, that has not been affected by because of their lockdown and what they put in early on. Nobody could come or leave. Nobody could go or leave the island. They locked down on weekends, 72 hours curfew. You couldn't leave your house. You could only go shopping every other day. The liquor stores were closed, and it's working. So there's an island of 50,000 people with a gorgeous baseball facility that people can go to and play. And that's 2.5-3 months from here. So that's what my next plans are, is when this opens up to figure out how to get there. But there's a safe place to play.
All right, I want to kind of end here. Looking in the future here, because I'm going to bet the teams that will play in the Olympics are probably well-established teams we would have expected. But let's look. We'll jump ahead. Say 10, 15 years from now, what are a country or two that you think we might see in those bigger competitions that we may not have seen before?
Brazil is getting more into baseball. And Argentina has got a professional league that they develop now. That's one who's probably a good prototypical question before of how about starting a professional league. Well, the league that they've got, probably about 60% are from Argentina, and the rest of them are from, a lot of them from Venezuela or from other places. So that's a good protocol to be able to look up. Russia's going to keep coming. I mean, with their facilities that they've got and the dedication to it and how many people they've got, I see them as going to keep improving. There's a very aggressive group out of Nigeria, the Baseball Tomorrow Academy, who's got it going on. And then the players from Uganda, who was the runner-up this year to the South Africa, you could see a little bit of the difference of the swag because of the success that they had in the Little League World Series, and that really spurred on a lot of interest in that country. So when those kids start getting older and the generations after that start getting older, I think those are ones that you're gonna see a little bit more.
Now, this is just kind of more of a personal thing. We have more of a vested interest in the Philippines. Have you ever seen them or not?
Yeah, we've got a player that's on the Philippines. He's Chinese he's an American and mom Filipino, but he was born in China. So we have a team from China that comes over, and he's also on the Philippine 18 and under team. They were supposed to play in a tournament last year, and that got squashed. So four of the players from the 18 and under team came over and played with the China team to be able to help round out their roster last year. Yeah, they're probably on the way up too.
All right. So is there anything, Mario, that you want to add that we haven't talked about for the Caribbean Baseball Organization?
If you look at my LinkedIn page, and it's MarioSignorello. You can find out a lot of this information that we talked about. And if you, I think I'm, you're only allowed 30,000 followers, so I think I'm probably near my limit. So it's probably easier to just follow me. And we've been doing posts this week on Russia, Italy, and then Ireland, and that'll give you a lot of the information that I talked about. You'll be able to see in there. And we do four pictures with every post too, because pictures tell 1,000 words.
So, appreciate it, Mario. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. So a little bit shorter of an interview this time, but it was good. It's one of the first times we've looked at a sport and its youth. And I think that's really important, especially when you're looking at how a sport can grow in a country. Like Mario was talking about, it needs to really grow at a youth level. And so it's important that you kind of look at the youth of a sport in a country if you're going to see about its success. a country's not just going to all of a sudden be really good at something or really popular at a sport if there is no youth culture to play that sport to begin with. So India might have a ton of people. But if they don't have that youth growth, if the youth aren't interested, if the youth aren't dedicated, if the youth don't have an opportunity, then it's not going to grow. At least it's not going to grow to the level in which that country is winning major competitions at a high level or an older aged level, because the youth didn't have a chance to develop and grow in the game. And so I think that's really important. And I think that also speaks to why some countries maybe aren't good at certain things. Well, is the youth interested? Does the youth play? Does the youth have an opportunity to play? What does the youth look like when it comes to this sport? Are there baseball clubs? Are there baseball teams? Are there rec leagues? Do schools play this sport? That's a big thing you don't think about. Do schools play it? Do schools promote it? What does the youth culture look like around that sport in that particular country? Or even that particular region? We mentioned a region. We didn't call it that region, but that East Asian region. Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, China. Baseball is really big. And that's why I asked Mario about it. Did you get teams from those countries to participate and whatever? You heard all that. But that's a more of a regional look. Another regional area that didn't come up is the Oceania region, meaning Australia and New Zealand. Australia has a great league that's growing, continuing to grow, and they pull some teams. It might just be one team. You might have to double check that, fact check me on that. One team, maybe more, coming from New Zealand and participating in that league. So that's another region that's growing in baseball. But it all comes down to that youth. If the youth are completely disinterested, then the sport isn't going to grow. And in addition, if the youth aren't interested, the sport will not continue to maintain a high level of success. So in the US, if every young person or a big group of young people or a majority of the youth stop caring about baseball, then we can assume that in 10 years, baseball won't be nearly what it is today. And, you know, that's more for people to debate. You can find people debating that constantly. There are sports that always ask that question: what's the youth culture in the sport? How long will it maintain? And so that's what I think Mario pointed out. I think that's what we got from this, is how important the youth culture is and how, in an indirect way, it points to the true information we can gather when it comes to specifically baseball internationally when watching things like the Little League World Series. You see a lot of the similar same countries in the Little League World Series. It's because they have a thriving youth program, youth engagement, youth interest in the sport. Obviously, I mean, the Little League World Series, those are youth players. And so that's another example where we can learn what countries are probably going to succeed in the long run when it comes to events like the World Baseball Classic, but also now coming back, the Olympics. So there's a lot to unpack, but it for the most part, it's based around what does the youth look like in the sport and how does the youth representation of a sport affect the potential for a professional league to develop in a country. So again, that example he mentioned was India. Well, India's got a ton of people, massive number of people in India, no professional baseball. On the surface, you go, well, that doesn't make any sense. You got so many people there. Why wouldn't there at least be a league? Well, because the youth aren't interested, at least not yet. And, you know, he did give us a number. I think it was 200,000, which is a big number. Percentage-wise in India, maybe not so big, but that's a lot of people. So maybe it's coming. Maybe it's changing. Maybe we're going to start seeing other countries show out in sports, show out in baseball that we haven't seen before. When we talked with Matt Ellis in our Sports in Australia episode, he talked about how cricket's number one, but they have professional baseball. The reason I point that out is because even in some areas where you think there's not room for a certain sport, like you think, well, we got cricket. That's basically baseball. We don't need baseball. Like India, maybe. You see proof in Australia that that might not be the case. Point being, cricket might be huge in India. That doesn't mean baseball's not coming. We got to look at the youth. We got to look at what their involvement looks like. And that's what Mario pointed out. So if you are interested in the growth of sport or of baseball specifically in other countries around the world, I'd check that out. Keep an eye. See who shows up in the Little League World Series. Run through the numbers. Run through the past winners. What countries are being represented the most? See if you're accurate. See if it represents. No, what you should do is you should go back and look at kind of the teams that did really well in the World Baseball Classic and the most recent ones. And then go back 10-ish years to the Little League World Series and see if those teams match up. See if those teams match up. In fact, let's do that right now. 2007 Little League World Series winner, Japan. You have teams from internationally. You have Curacao, Mexico, Chinese Taipei, Japan, Canada, the Netherlands, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia. You do kind of see some of the same teams that are doing well in the Little League World Series, at least showing up in the World Baseball Classic. A couple of the teams that we heard a few times in the Little League World Series that we did not see, in at least in the top four of the World Baseball Classic, as countries like Curacao, Saudi Arabia. Those are probably the two biggest repeats that we did not see in the World Baseball Classic. And then the only two that we did not see in the Little League World Series that we see in the World Baseball Classic is South Korea. So make of that as you will. All the other countries that have gotten first through fourth in the four World Baseball Classics, 2006, 2009, 2013, and 2017, all showed up as finalists, or at least in the round of the grouping qualifications of a Little League World Series within, you know, 2007, going back a few years. So make of that as you will, it does seem to be some sort of pattern going back to, again, what we talked with Mario so much about the youth and how the youth represents those leagues. That being said, that's all I got for you. Thank you for visiting and staying with us for yet another episode. You will now hear from us next week, Wednesday. We are back to the week schedule. So you will hear from us June 3 for episode 48. Thank you. Hey, everybody. Thank you again for getting through another episode. We really appreciate it. I just want to quick redirect you to where you can find us one more time to kind of close out this whole episode. You can find us at facebook.com/globallyballin, Twitter at globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballin official. The name was taken. And patreon.com/globallyballin. Again, what you can find there is all of these episodes music free, as well as ad free, and a bunch of other tiers that offer you a lot of other stuff. There is a ton of content available for you that you are not getting here that's out there on the Patreon page. So if you want to check that out, that would be great. And then, of course, again, if you like the show, we would really appreciate a rating and a review wherever you listen. I know I normally suggest Apple Podcasts, but if there's a way, you know, if you listen to it somewhere else and there's a way to rate it, that would be great as well. But any of that is very, very helpful and very much appreciated. It does take a lot of work putting these things together and editing them up and making it all mesh together and getting our interviews lined up and all this. So it takes a lot, but we really believe in it, and we encourage you, if you believe in it too, doing one of those things to help us out would be fantastic. Otherwise, simply you listening to our episodes coming out is a huge blessing to us. So thank you very much for supporting the show, and you'll get an episode from us here in the coming days.